Good morning and welcome to our worship service this morning. We will be following the order of worship as you find it printed out entirely in your worship bulletin. And please note that after the responsive psalm reading from Psalm 78, there will be a children's song and the congregation will be invited to join to sing the second stanza as printed in your bulletin. We open our service with prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that through the preaching of your word, we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus in life and in death, and grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today's service will center upon the blessed privilege, responsibility that the Lord has given to us to raise little ones for the Lord and our youth, teaching them His Word as they grow up, that they might be firmly planted in the saving truths of His Word. We welcome you to this service in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Lord, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things that are pleasing in your sight, so that we who without you cannot do anything that is good may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of our scriptures today is drawn from the book of Deuteronomy. Again, you will note the Christian education flavor that this text has, the Lord encouraging his people to be very faithful and diligent in teaching the next generation the wonders of his love in the Savior. We pray the Lord so bless us. And this text is in Deuteronomy 6, beginning with the first verse. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here ends the first lesson. Now we read responsively portions from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. I will utter dark sayings of old,
which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us.
We will not hide them from our children,
telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord.
For he established a testimony in Jacob,
and appointed a law in Israel,
that the generation to come might know them. That they may set their hope in God,
and not forget the words of God, but keep his commandments.
At this time, we'll follow the song, the Vacation Bible School song that our children learned this week. We have one child present with us from our school, and she's invited to come forward. And again, note that the congregation will join in singing the second stanza, which is printed in your bulletin. Our next Bible lesson is drawn from Paul's second epistle to Timothy. We read there chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So far the reading. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Once again, invite you to stand as we confess our Holy Spirit created faith in our God, which we seek faithfully to pass down to the next generation. In the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is drawn from John 17, portion of Jesus' high priestly prayer, beginning with verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dearly beloved of God, heard these words a few minutes ago from Deuteronomy. These commandments I've given you today, the Lord said, they're to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk of them when you're at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's the command that the God of love gave to his people Israel as they, after days of and years of wandering in the desert, they were wandering or winding down to a close, and they were now getting ready at long last to enter the land of promise. And it was at this watershed moment of their history that God directed them to take little parchment strips with Bible verses written on, called phylacteries, fold them and insert them into a small leather box, and then use a leather band to tie the box to their foreheads. And he also told them to tie Bible verse phylacteries to their left forearm and affix some to the front entries of their homes. The purpose of this, well, God was wanting to use them as teaching aids to remind his people, they and their children, of the vital importance of having his words always in their minds and hearts as a lamp and as a light to their path all through their journeyings towards heaven. For us New Testament Christians, this practice of affixing Bible verses to our foreheads or posting them by the doorbell outside our front entry isn't something the Lord tells us to do. He does, however, want us to faithfully read his word, study it, hear it preached at his house, to inscribe his word on the tablets of our hearts, because they're still what he uses to direct our steps through the duration of our journey through this desert, we Christian pilgrims, to our heavenly promised land. And so that's our prayer this morning to the Lord, that he would sanctify us and our children by his word of truth, using it to protect us and our children from the world's evil influence and to strengthen and equip us for joyful service in his kingdom. Our text takes us to the upper room in Jerusalem, night before Jesus died, while assembled with his disciples there for the very last time as a group. Before walking the painful road to the cross for us, he offered a very special prayer, a big, beautiful prayer, And one petition he included in that prayer, which spans the entire chapter, was, "Father, sanctify my disciples gathered here in the room with me tonight. And do the same, Father, for all my future disciples, both young and old alike, by your word of truth." Now that word sanctify, which Jesus used in his prayer, is a very special one that deserves special attention. And there's a story I'd like to share to illustrate what that word means. Years ago, I was watching a TV program titled "I Shouldn't Be Alive." Maybe some of you remember it from years ago. It told about traumatic events that people experienced in their lives, which, at least humanly speaking, they should not have survived. The episode I was watching, which remains my memory bank, was about a young newlywed couple who spent part of their honeymoon mountain climbing, and right after reaching the summit and celebrating their triumph, "Yay, we made it!" they noticed something bad. Their elation was soon changed to deep apprehension when they saw a big storm brewing in the distance headed right in their direction. So they began a hasty descent to try to avoid that storm, but they ended being stranded halfway down on a narrow rocky ledge, their only shelter from the elements, a small tent which they curled up in to keep warm. They called for help on a cell phone, but no signal. Sent out a SOS text to friends. Morning, they checked to see if their message got through, and they were glad to see, yes, it did. Text was returned to them, "Got your SOS, help on the way." What happened was that after spending 2 days hunkered down on that ledge in their little pup tent with winds howling, snow blowing, in frigid temps, the weather cleared enough so that a rescue helicopter could airlift them to the safety of the lower regions just in the nick of time. Recount that story again to illustrate the meaning of the Bible word sanctify. We were all trapped, spiritually speaking. Our children were all trapped in grave spiritual danger, headed for sure disaster due to our sinful condition in the sight of our holy God. We sinned against, and with no outside help for our sin condition, we would have surely perished in hell, all alone from our Father's home. But then he used the message of his word. The gospel, SOS, we might sometimes use that phrase, the law that shows us SOS our sins, and the gospel SOS that shows our Savior to create saving faith in our hearts. And when that happened, the Lord lifted us from danger, rescued us from the blizzard of godlessness blowing all around us, and now we're living in the safety of Jesus' church, the holy Christian church, where we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness for our sins, and a blessed eternal future awaiting us with our Father in the joys, blessed warmth of heaven. So what Jesus was praying for that night in that upper room with his disciples is that his Father keep them in their safe and secure position as his beloved children through his word. Keep them, Father, always trusting in you, looking to me, their Savior, for guidance and for strength in their walk of faith. Throughout his 3.5-year public ministry, of course, Jesus had done just that for his disciples. Remember some of the instances when they got themselves into spiritual danger and physical danger, so they thought at times, like the disciples on Lake Galilee, began to lose confidence in Jesus and feared for their lives in the violent rainstorm on that lake. Mary and Martha, when their hearts became burdened with grief over the death of their dear brother Lazarus, or when Thomas One of the 12 was overcome with a feeling of hopelessness after Jesus' crucifixion, death, and doubted that he'd come back to life as the others had said. In each instance, Jesus provided them with guidance, comfort, hope by the power of his word, bolstering their sagging faith, consoling them in their losses, reassuring them, "I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." And now that he was removing his visible presence from them, he prayed in that prayer that night, "Heavenly Father, sanctify them by your word of truth. Keep using it to keep my believers safe from contrary winds blowing all around them in the world. Protect them from the deceptive doctrines of false teachers, from empty philosophies of the world, the evil influences of the world, which Satan is going to try to use to lead them away from me, Father. Keep them safe through your word and trusting me, their good shepherd." Friends, that's Jesus' prayer still today for us and our children. We who live in this sinful world, again, the godless culture, he's praying for us every day, "Father, sanctify them by your word of truth. Use the word they read in their home devotions, that they hear preached at church, that my dear little lambs hear and learn in Christian schools, vacation Bible schools, and in Sunday school, to safeguard them and keep them from harm. Help them grow, help them mature in their understanding of my word and its application to their daily life. Help them meet successfully every challenge to their faith which the godless culture throws at them. Help them see through Satan's schemes to trick them into neglecting your word and to see the vital importance of integrating your word into the fabric of their lives. Encourage them all, young and old, by your gospel promises. Use them to supply my disciple followers with resilience for fighting the good fight of faith even to the end. And when they stumble, which they undoubtedly will in their weakness, use your word of truth to bring them to repentance, to my cross for sweet forgiveness, for ongoing direction that's going to guide them reliably all the way to their heavenly promised land." What a beautiful prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples and all of us that night. Another important aspect of that word sanctify that we want to speak about this morning, just noted how Jesus uses his word of truth to provide guidance and spiritual stamina for our trek through the world to our Father's home on high. He also prayed that his Father would sanctify his disciples, young and old alike, by his word of truth for joyful service in his kingdom. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them, Father, in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept, and none is lost except the son of perdition," a reference to Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, "that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they, my disciples, may have my joy fulfilled in them. I've given them your word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." You might wonder why the Savior prayed for his Father to not take his disciples out of the world. I mean, I thought that was his great desire as Savior. The gracious plan of salvation is to rescue sinners from this world of evil and take them finally to himself in heaven. But instead we hear him praying that we not be taken from the world. Isn't that a contradiction? In a word, no. Of course, the Savior wants us to be with him where he is. We read that, in fact, same truth later on in this prayer, verse 24. "Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. They may be with me in heaven." But you see, it's also the Lord's will that we stay right here in the world for a while, that he might use us as his instruments to help and serve those around us in our lives, that we might be a salt to the earth and a light for the world, witnessing our faith to others, that they also might know the joy of being part of his kingdom, the joy of his salvation. They might rejoice in his promises. Like in John 14, also earlier that night in the upper room, familiar verse, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be too." An example I might share in this regard of Christians, in this case of a young Christian serving as a witness for the Lord for the benefit of others. There was once a school nurse who had just finished giving a health talk at Christian school to pupils of her second grade class, and before closing the session out, she asked one of the students, a bright-eyed little boy named Michael, "So Michael, tell the class, what's the first thing we should do when we catch a cold?" He stood up and with an air of confidence replied, "Say a prayer to Jesus." Not what she was expecting. She looked into his eager face, seeing a heart filled with faith, and she replied, "Yes, Michael, yeah, well, that's what we as Christians desire to do. We want to pray to Jesus." Great answer. "And then we should also do things we talked about, like drink plenty of water, get extra sleep, eat chicken noodle soup." Friends, that's what Jesus prayed for that night before he died, that his Father sanctify his children, again, the disciples of every age level, to serve in this way as his witnesses, letting our light shine before others for their spiritual good. And that's why we ask his blessing, we want to continue to do that, on our efforts to train up our children and youth for him, that they might be strengthened to serve the Lord, whatever earthly vocation he has in mind for them, whether teacher, nurse, mechanic, office worker, janitor, computer tech, or pastor, that he might enable them to live in a way that shows forth his praise, that he's made them to be very different from the world, so that under his gracious leading, others might be sanctified by his word of truth and brought into the safe haven of his holy Christian church, privileged to serve him here below, and then finally in his heavenly presence. We pray then in closing, Father of mercies, in your word, what endless glory shines. Forever be your name adored for these celestial lines. Oh, may these heavenly pages be our ever dear delight, and still new beauties may we see in still increasing light. Your word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
We pray. O Heavenly Father, who created all things in heaven and earth by your Son, giving him authority over all, we thank you that through him we have received the Spirit of adoption, through which we may truly know you as our Father, call upon you in prayer, and be assured that we'll be heard as your children. Father, for your church and your people, we pray. Give to them ministers and teachers who are led by your Holy Spirit and who earnestly hold forth the word of life, faithfully leading your children and teaching them to observe all things our Lord has commanded. Save your flock from all false shepherds and deceitful guides, that they, being knit together in love, may stand firm in one spirit and with one mind strive together for the gospel of Christ crucified. Father, let your Spirit descend upon our homes. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in the children, and grant that all parents may be worthy examples of Christian faith and virtue. For those among us who live alone, grant the firm assurance of your abiding presence, and comfort them in knowing that they are never truly alone. May we all recognize the most important family bond that we share, the bond of faith, so that we may bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord God, from whom all good gifts flow, give the assurance of your love and mercy to all who may be enduring pain, sickness, the onset of disease, spiritual anguish, or any other affliction of body or soul. Lift them up so that they may be entrust themselves completely into your care and find in you the answers for their troubles. And now, Heavenly Father, since you've encouraged us in your word to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving and prayer, we come to you in gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in Jesus' name, our rock and redeemer. In his name we pray, amen. We also unite in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May we rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.